Good day, and welcome to the Nakilat Q3 2018 financial results conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. Today's presentation will be hosted by CFO Anis Abuaker, Fotios Zeratis, and Bobby Sarkar. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Bobby Sarkar. Please go ahead, sir.
Hi, hello everyone. This is Bobby Sarkar, Head of Research at QNB Financial Services. I wanted to welcome everyone to Qatar Gas Transport, or Nakilat's, third quarter 2018 conference call. On this call, we have Hani Abuaker, who is Nakilat CFO, and Fotios Zeratis, who is Nakilat's Head of Investor Relations. We will conduct this conference with first management reviewing the company's third quarter results and 9 months results, followed by a question and answer session. I will now turn the call over to Fotios. Thank you.
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining Nakilat third quarter 2018 conference call. For your convenience, the transcript of this call and presentation will be available on the investor relations section of our website. Please now turn to the slide 2 of the presentation. Many of our remarks contain forward-looking statements, and page 3 has a table of contents of the entire presentation, as well as page 4 has the glossary. In addition, some of our remarks contain non-IFRS financial measurements, such as EBITDA. A reconciliation of this is included in the notes of this presentation. I will now hand over to Mr. Hani Abuaker, CFO of Nakilat.
Thank you, Fotios. Good afternoon to all of you, and thank you for joining our third quarter earnings call. I will begin with the financial highlights of the quarter, or at least the 9 months of this year. Fotios will update you on the current trends of LNG shipping market and outlook, following which I will then take you through Nakilat business outlook for the next quarter, as well as key investment highlights, and then we will open the floor for questions and answers. Turning to slide 6 and 7, this has been a very successful 9 months for Nakilat for 2018 in terms of the execution of our strategy of growth and ensuring efficiency. As you can see, our profitability has increased by 8.5% in the first 9 months compared to last year due to the acquisition of the two LNG carriers and one FSRU. Further factors has also contributed to this higher profitability, were like a higher level of activities at our shipyards venture, increase in interest rate income from bank deposits, dividends, and also investments in other listed companies. On a unit basis, we can see our G&A decreased by 7.2% in the first 9 months compared to 2018 compared to 2017. While our total operating expense was slightly less by 0.4%, which is more or less the same as last year. Furthermore, Nakilat by 2.5% year over year to reach 2.1 billion rial. Turning to slide 8 and 9, we can see a strong and healthy balance sheet with cash and bank balances stood at 2.8 billion, as well as total assets at 30 billion rial. The investment in joint venture has increased mainly due to the share of operating profits, hedging gain, and investment in the new joint ventures that we have got into this year. As you can see, we have already reduced Nakilat net borrowing by 13.3% over the last 5 years, while at the same time, we have acquired additional 11 LNG carriers and one FSRU. Now, let me hand back to Fotios to take you through an overview of LNG shipping markets.
Thank you, Hani. Slide 9 shows clearly the improvement of short-term LNG shipping market. Due to LNG shipping seasonality nature, usually the third quarter is considered by many market participants as the holiday period, but this year no holiday for the third quarter, with rising rates across all trading basins. In the third quarter of 2018, LNG shipping spot market significantly improved, with average rates for the second generation LNG carriers, DFDs, reached at $82,000 per day in comparison with $43,000 per day in the third quarter 2017, which translates an impressive increase of 93%. For the first generation LNG carriers, steams, the increase was approximately 65%, from $30,000 per day in the third quarter of 2017 to $49,000 per day this quarter. This spot market rate improvement is driven by many factors. However, the main factor is an impressive increase of Chinese LNG demand by 48% year to year, which made China the second largest global LNG importer. Other important factors are the rising global liquefaction capacity and the firming LNG price in the East Hemisphere. Along with increased spot market activity, there has been a notable pickup in inquiries about multi-month and multi-year shipping requirements. We believe this recent increase in the tender activity is an acknowledgement by charterers that as rising demand for LNG absorbs available shipping capacity, charterers need to secure shipping tonnage in order to ensure that they have access to it when required by their shipping needs. Turning to the slide 12, we observe that the incremental LNG fleet growth reached approximately at 7.8 in terms of number of ships. Please note that we have excluded FSRUs and vessels smaller than 65,000 cubic meters. Until October, there are 464 vessels in operation and 98 vessels on order book, which implies an increase of 21% of the total LNG fleet in terms of number of ships. The average age of LNG fleet is relatively young, 11 years old, and only 4.7% is older than 35 years old. In addition, there are 29 FSRUs in operation and 12 FSRUs on order. The promising fundamentals of LNG shipping market has boosted the confidence of LNG ship owners. As a result, the new build contract, including FSRU, has impressively increased by 215%. From 13 new build contracts in 2017, we have reached right now to 41 new build contracts in the first 9 months of 2018. During the third quarter of 2018, the 87% of LNG fleet is chartered out for long term, for longer than 3 months. The 9% is available on short-term market, and only 4% of LNG fleet is lay-up. Turning to the slide 13, the LNG shipping balance is expected to be much tighter by 2022 due to a very high increase in LNG production of approximately 64 million tons post-FID, or approximately 118 million tons post-FID and FID and FERC. As a result of the tighter market, it will rise global fleet's annualized utilization, with corresponding improvements in earnings and vessel values. In short term, the rising spot market is driven by increased global liquefaction capacity, US LNG exports, a high LNG demand from Asia. The LNG shipping market is entering its busiest period, Q4, on the back of a very strong Q3. As a final note of the market, both LNG demand outlook and LNG shipping macro remains robust, and incremental vessel capacity will be needed to meet future demand. At this stage, I would like to turn the conference over to Hani to discuss about Nakilat's business outlook.
Thank you, Fotios, for the update, and I'm sure there's a lot of analysts who are going to ask you tons of questions afterward. However, I will start with the page 15. I know that I would like to illustrate to that our commitment to continue to meet the company's objectives. Nakilat joint venture LNG fleet is expected to have a full results during the full year results by the end of this year, which is due again to the addition of the two LNG and one FSRU. Also, we anticipate that the momentum that we have seen in the shipyard activities to continue in the coming up quarter. Also, I would like to continue to be focused. We would like to be continue to be focused on our business portfolio in terms of growth and diversification. So the strong LNG shipping market improvement in sentiment, which is what Fotios has spoken about earlier, shall create potential good investment opportunity for our environment so we can capture further in the future in 2019 and 20 and going forward. If I go to turning to slide number 17, maybe I will just like to reemphasize on the Nakilat investment story that we provide an attractive risk-adjusted return for our shareholders. We are the world's largest LNG shipping owner by capacity. We have a fixed long-term contract with the first-class charterers that secure both strong balance sheet and solid steady cash flow in order for us to take an advantage and exploit any future business opportunities for expansion in the LNG shipping market. With that, I would like to ask Bobby or the operator to open the floor for you guys for question and answers.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, if you wish to ask a question over the phone, please dial star followed by the digit 1 on your telephone keypad. Please ensure that the mute function is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. And if you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Once again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal.
Hi, Hani. Hi, Fotios. This is Bobby Sarkar again. Let me just get the ball rolling and ask a couple of questions, if I could, please. Could you discuss a little bit as to the reason behind the decline in JV income in the third quarter versus the second quarter of this year? Given, you know, strengthening spot rates, what was the reason that JV income declined slightly? And also, just discuss a little bit in terms of what we are seeing for finance charges. I see there's another increase this quarter versus, you know, the second quarter and the third quarter of last year. It's my belief that, you know, close to 75% of your debt is hedged. So what's driving this sequential growth in finance charges, which is somewhat significant on a percentage basis? Thank you.
Okay, the first question about the joint venture income, as we said, the activities in our shipyard, we have captured more potentially over the last 6 months. So maybe some of the spillover that we have seen in the quarter, that's maybe they made the difference between April and June and compared to July to September. I think that is considered to be the major, the contributor, why is the difference between both. In regard to financing charges, as you know, we have some of our corporate loan facility that that is not fully hedged. And basically, with the increased interest rate, that's why it is was higher compared to the quarter before. So I hope I did answer the questions, or at least I answered what you have asked for.
Okay, thank you.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, if you wish to ask a question over the phone, please press star 1. Okay, we will now take our first question from Philip Canan from QI Invest. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yes, thank you for the presentation. I have two questions. One is quite a bit outdated. The first question is, why did depreciation basically spike up in 2016 versus 2015? Is it because the salvage value of the vessels went down because of the shipping market? And do you expect any further depreciation impairments, similar impairments in the future? And second question is, are there any discussions with Qatargas and Rosgas regarding the new capacity that might come online? Are there any initial discussions? I know it might be very early stage, but is Nakilat in the loop of any expansions?
I will take the Qatar's LNG expansion question that you asked. It is expected, actually it was a question that it was expecting and it's very interesting. When the expansion will be completed, it will be by 2024, and Qatar's LNG production capacity will be reached around 110 million tons per year, a roughly increase 43% from currently what happened. We cannot actually what we can tell you is that always we have a discussion with our charterers about anything that has to do about our LNG issues and LNG shipping business that we have. But actually right now we cannot say anything further about this thing. We cannot comment further.
So it's okay. Still something we leave always to the charterer and Qatar Gas and QP to comment on. However, we
yeah,
are the shipping
was
company.
Wondering, like, if the government and Qatar Gas would give like Nakilat the same kind of lucrative deal they have right now, given like especially the spot rates where they are right now.
Yeah, but that's something is belong to them to decide and to communicate at the right time, for sure. Whether it's Nakilat or potentially any other shipping company. So we leave it up to them to really comment on this one. However, we, as any other shipping company, we're always in discussion with the charterers and whether they are in Qatar or internationally, to secure businesses that for any capacity. I will answer your question about the depreciation, the increased charges. Basically, the reason of that increased charges is not was an impairment. It's more of that we have changed the value, the scrap value. So basically, changing in the accounting estimate. We wanted to be more of conservative because back in 2015 the scrap value for at the end of the life of the vessels has changed, so we decided to be more conservative and reflect what is the current market dynamics. In regards to impairment, we don't see any impairment very soon. We have to understand why would you do an impairment. An impairment will be in a case where your economic expected value is not being achieved based on the original assumption. So basically, our contracts are fixed long-term based on a specific rate of return. So that, even as per the IFRS, does not constitute that we have to do any sort of impairment. Our vessels are generating the return that we were expecting since the beginning. We are not impacted by any kind of market fluctuation as much compared to the most of our fleet. Yes, we have exposure in the LPG market, which is sometimes it's in a spot rate, and we have a more of a shorter term contract, like maybe 1 or 2 years. However, currently we don't foresee for this segment, which is the LNG or potentially maybe the LPG for us, any sort of impairment, because we believe these vessels, as per our economic models, still deliver what was expected from them when we bought them back in the days.
Okay, fair enough. I mean, these valuations are purely, I guess, driven by the global prices and where the chartered rates are and what independent valuations put them at. It's more of market demand.
Maybe I will elaborate more. On an annual basis, we have asked that question by our external auditors, where they check, we check for impairment test, and we look at the book value of our vessels in our books, and then we look at the potential cash flow that we're generating for these vessels over the next over the life of the vessels, and we discount all of that based on the expected rate of return that we usually look into our business. And if we see any discrepancies, or at least if we see any sort of indication of impairments, we will take that decision. However, we haven't seen that. And again, The reason being is that our vessels are depreciated over time. Our models, our economic model shows that there's still a rate of return that we are generating based on what we are expecting since entering into this business opportunity. So there was nothing that has signaled any deterioration in the way that our vessel is performing. So we don't see any sort of impairment in the near future, and we hope so.
Okay, fair enough. Final question. How much of the JVs is spot? How much is long-term? Approximate figure.
Currently, if we look at all our vessels, they are in the LNGs. They're being fixed on a time charter contract. Some of them is maybe one or two on a 3 years or 2 years contract. However, most of the 65 vessels are chartered on medium to long term, 7 to 10 average. Maybe you're talking about 15 to 25 years contract, and our FSRU is almost 15 years, close to 15 years contract.
LPG.
LBG, I said this is the LBG that I talked about, which is usually the nature of the LBG. It goes into the term of around between two to five, maybe 2 to 3, but now currently we are ranging around between 1 and 3 year contract. But however, we haven't disclosed specifically a specific number of years. But they are not, we charter them on a time charter contract, so basically for minimum of 1 year, to ensure that we always have these vessels being chartered. And also the nature of the contract could be reflecting the actual market, the previous month's performance. And some of them is already have a fixed rate. So we have a mix of both kind of chartering for the LPG vessels. However, they're still exposed as an LPG usually is to the Baltic rate.
Okay, thank you.
Welcome, thanks.
Thank you. As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will now take our next question from Sabir Kalgawala from AL Ryan Investments. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Gentlemen, thank you for the call. I had a few questions. You mentioned about the LNG rates have been good in the past quarter. Just wanted to know how is Nakilat benefiting, or what steps Nakilat is taking to benefit from this rate hike, if any, and how much of the JV vessels are up for renewals in the current 1 year or so.
Okay, regarding the market. We can see that the rates have started to increase, so it helps very much actually the attitude of the market. So there are actually business opportunities that we can look to in the near term and long term. Also, it's pushing also the market value of new builds. We can see that actually that the new builds actually 6 months ago was around $183 million per new build LNG carrier. Now we can see the average about 185, and the yards actually they push it this number. They try actually to push it to $190 million. Obviously, this market push the prices of the existing fleet to a higher level. But we cannot see clear this message because there is no liquidity enough to the market to see a last done sales and purchase of the vessels. But in the long run, obviously, the values of the vessel, the existing fleet, will go up. We have this discussion also with ship brokers, and we can see this thing. But in order to have more clear picture on that, we need to see more months in future to see this trend to continue.
Yeah, and if I can add to Fotios about what does this mean for Nakilat? Basically, a strong market demands and fundamentals is very good for us. That means that potentially we can have more of future business opportunity in 2019 and 20 and going forward, because all we want to make sure the market to continue to have that strong fundamentals. That means will allow us to acquire more capacity potentially worldwide, which is that the case was in earlier this year where we partnered with our joint venture partner Maran for two vessels. So yes, it means more potential for us because we have enough capital to deploy. We have the size, we have the capabilities to raise and actually to finance these assets. Having good fundamentals is basically for the market of the LNG market will always going to help us in securing these assets.
Right. And in terms of renewals, how much of the fleets are off for renewal for the next 1 year or so?
Yeah, I just answered this question earlier. I will repeat again. For the LPG vessels, the nature of the LPG vessel, which is only 4 vessels out of our 70
yeah.
vessels, usually vessels mm-hmm. are really chartered between 1 and 3 years. But however, chartering these vessels always is possible. What we're looking for is the market fundamentals. Is the Baltic rate is really being strong enough so we can generate more profitable income out of these vessels or not? So yeah, chartering on LPG vessels for between 1 and 3 years is always easy and doable. And even if you charter it even 1 or 5 years, in the LPG, the economics is different. The LPG is based on the Baltic rate. It's not based more of market rate. So, and the Baltic rate changed almost on a daily basis. The Baltic rate was not as good over the last 2 to 3 years. However, before that, it was a record high. So currently our vessels continue to be chartered as the same thing as what, since we bought them in 2008, we usually charter them for a period between 1 and 3 years, and that charter rate is could be in two elements. Some of them on a fixed rate, some of them is on reset rate, which is based on the previous month performance in the Baltic rate.
All right.
And the remaining one, the LNG, you can say that most of them between 7 to 25 years, which is what we have seen, maybe 1 or 3 on around 3 to 5 years.
Okay. And in the start of the year, you did a fantastic expansion into FSRUs. Is there more vessels to come in that category as of now, or what's the plan for that segment?
As we have said in our press release, getting for us to get into the FSRU is basically will open a completely new horizon for potential future opportunities. So yes, we will continuously look for a business opportunity that if it ever exists in that segment.
And you mentioned you are looking for acquiring vessels and stuff. Will that have an impact on the dividend?
Okay, that's a dividend question. Okay. We consider that for us to pay a dividend, as and we have highlighted before in a previous conference calls, that we don't think the acquisition of FSRU or a couple of LNG will have any sort of impact on our dividend over the next 1 or 2 years. If you can see our profit almost close to, well, it's now at 650 something and maybe it will hit 840 to 850 maybe around the corner, but we don't know yet where. And we still we can pay 554 million. So we can maintain our own. We can maintain that growth with the current profit that we are generating. Over the last, as you can see, over the last almost 5 to 6 years, we have added almost 11 LNG vessels. We have added one FSRU. And we still paid the dividend, and we never cut those dividends. We can use our internal generated money and our capabilities with our world-class charter contract to finance potential acquisition.
All right. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Thanks for answering the question.
Thank you.
Thank you. As a reminder, it's star one to ask a question over the phone. We will now take our next question from Nikhil Arora from Franklin Templeton Investments. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Yeah, thank you, gentlemen, so much for the call today. I have just a comment, if you can please confirm. So just elaborating on your last statement on the dividend, I think it is safe to assume that if there is any kind of expansion opportunity, then most likely it's going to be in the format of a joint venture rather than, let's say, taking any new assets on your own balance sheet, which might affect the dividend. I mean, is that true?
No, no, I absolutely not. For us, we acquire assets, and these assets, whether we acquire two vessels with our joint ventures and we go 50-50, or we might acquire one vessel by ourselves. So I don't foresee, and that's a thing that we've been doing over the years, I don't think our annual or regular growth or normal growth that we're going to have over the next 1 or 2 years has we see any impact on the dividend cut or reduction. By saying that, I just would like to have some cautious is that if we have like a one-in-a-lifetime opportunity where we have to acquire a massive number of vessels, where we have to go above and beyond what we expect, and this is the best thing, We might, but currently, we don't see having to cut dividend because of our normal growth that we have been doing over the last years. So no. Whether it's joint venture or whether not Nakilat going by itself and securing vessels, and no, we don't foresee, and we don't see it over the next couple of 2 years. Or even further, assuming it's a normal business or business as usual, that we will ever think about cutting dividend. However, if things changed and we have an opportunity that is require one year or something that is, well, which is, you're talking about a really massive potential opportunity that we really need, and this is the best interest of our shareholders, we might consider, and not something that we will do, but we might consider. However, again, I want to emphasize, dividend is something that Nakilat believes that based on its risk profile and the future cash flow, which is linked back-to-back with the world-class charterer, we can strongly believe that this dividend will be sustained.
All right.
I hope I answered your question.
Thank you for that. And it does. Thanks. I have like two more questions on the operation side. So number one is that the administrative costs, which are lower this quarter and highlighted in your slideshow, is this like a sustainable level of G&A expenses that we should expect going forward as well? And how much of this is a result of, taking vessels from Shell's management to your own internal management? And number two, can you just remind us again of the shipyard operations? Is that still loss-making? And if yes, then how much on a quarterly basis?
Okay. First of all, I would like to talk about the G&A. The G&A and also our operation, as we said before, we as a company are maturing as a shipping company over the years. And we are actually always, we have implemented a lot of continuous improvement measures within the organization to ensure that we are truly a global leader. And that's what we are aim, and that's what is our vision, is to be a global leader, not only in the MENA region. So basically, we're continuously looking about deploying a sustainable, continuous improvement measures in the way that we do business, in the way we really utilize our internal resources, in the way that we really can exploit and take advantage of the economic of scales, which is you just talked about, which is taking over the vessels from Stasco, because it allows us to really utilize our own DNA and potentially allocate more resources efficiently between our operation and the number of GNA resources is needed. So yes, we think that this is something sustainable, and this is something that is part of now our day-to-day culture. This is part of our CEO mandate to us, is that we continuously improve and innovate and provide new ways that we can really be more cost competitive, and ensuring that we are doing more cost saving, and it's not cost reduction. I just want to be very important to say that it's cost saving and ensuring that we do things in a way more efficient, and we usually deploy different methods and the resources and do a lot of automation and even bringing a lot of ideas from different even external consultants to really provide us in a way that we become more efficient and lean and agile organization. About the shipyard is not, I can say that this year for sure is not a money, a losing opportunity, losing venture. Our activities that is has increased significantly due to the number of ships and some of the offshore projects and industrial engineering. I think we believe that over the coming years, with a lot of things that's going on in the marine sides, with a lot of ballast water treatment systems that needs to be installed, a lot of some of the project about the scrubbers and that needs to be installed, we can see a lot of activities is going there. So we foresee that these ventures will start to really have some start to have some good numbers by themselves. However, as you know, we are a big company. We are an LNG shipping company. Most of our earnings is coming from shipping rather than from these shipyard facilities. But over the next, currently, they are not, actually for sure that we can confirm that they are not losing money, at least for this year. We can see that they will be able to sustain a black, like a positive numbers over the next couple of years. So I hope that I answered your question.
All right, thank you. And probably just, you know, one last snippet from my end. So the lost time incident frequency rate, the LTIF data that you have provided on the slide, this is on slide 19, which is like very low for Nakilat versus, let's say, the average for the industry. Does this include your joint ventures as well, or is this only for the wholly owned vessels?
It's only for the wholly owned vessels that we currently operate. However, the numbers is still below the industry average for even for our joint venture. However, here we are just reporting about Nakilat and just to show the level that Nakilat as a company, that as a global leader, what kind of operation track record that we can also present to our charterer, not only in Qatar, not in the region, but globally when they want to come and do a business with us. As you know, like for any LNG producer, what the most important thing is reliability. They want to make sure that their customers receive their product on time as per expected. And I'm sure that showing such kind of safety records and comparing it to the industry average, that's proven that Nakilat is the global leader, and hopefully in all aspects, whether from size, whether from contracts we have, whether from cost efficiency, and also the most important is safety and operation.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thank you. There are no further questions in the phone queue at this time. I would like to hand the call back over to you, Mr. Sarkar, for any additional or closing remarks.
Sure. Thank you. Thank you all for dialing into the call. Thank you, Hani. Thank you, Fortius. Please, if you have any additional questions, get in touch with QNBFS sales or myself and our company management, and we'll be happy to help you out. Thank you all. Bye.
Well, thank you very much, and thank you for QNB, and we're always happy to hold to participate in the conference call.
Thank you.
This will conclude today's conference call. Thank you all for your participation. You may now disconnect.